Blog Talk Radio.
So the Most High is going to stop the flowing of the people going into that country. Read.
Jeremiah chapter 51, the end of verse 44. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Verse 45. My people, go ye out of the midst.
Hold up, read that again.
My people, go ye out of the midst.
I think within this chapter he said flee and get out of around 3-4 times. Right? Read.
My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Most High Ahiah. And let your heart faint, and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor. And
wars and rumors of wars. You hearing about it, and because it's not happening, you think it's not going to happen. Read.
Verse 46. End of verse 46. And violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Verse 47. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. And her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth, and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon. For the spoiler shall come up unto her from the north, saith the Most High Ahiah. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so as Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away. Stand not still. Remember the Most High Ahiah afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind.
Listen to this clear. Ye that have escaped the sword, that means you escape the destruction that's coming to Babylon, go away and stand not still. So when you leave, remember the power or the God Ahiah afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. That looking forward, not looking back. Now let Jerusalem come into your mind. She's finished. Right? Read.
Verse 51. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers are coming to the sanctuary of the Lord's house.
Strangers have destroyed us. Strangers have destroyed our sanctuary, our belief. They destroyed our understanding so that we cannot connect to our God. They've given us their gods. Baal, Baal, Satan, the dragon, Moloch. These are the gods we've been worshiping ignorantly. Jesus. Zeus. Okay, we ain't know nobody named Jesus. Total madness. And then when we wake up and understand these things, we say, well, hold up. I'm a stranger here. You dragged me here. And the Most High starts reviving us. They're like, okay, we have one who's the extremist. You're a terrorist. Read on.
Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 52. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Most High Ahiah, that I will do judgment upon her graven
images.
He's
going to destroy all your images and your idols. And man, if you look at, if you even look at Washington, D.C., it's idol after idol. Monuments of idols. Obelisks, which is man's personal member. That's what an obelisk is. What's that, the Washington Monument? Idols every place. Five-pointed stars every place. But what if some did not believe? So what if you don't believe what we're teaching you? Paul asked, so what if some did not believe? Shall your unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You mean the Most High is going to stop his own program because you don't believe them? No, you're dead. That's what you are. Okay, his program was before us. And it will be well after us. And that's for the people that's walking out there. Well, there's wars all the time. There have always been these situations. Every few years this happens. Nothing is going to change. That's a dead man.
Shabbat Shalom, Barak Hassan, Martha Wilder, Peaceful Sabbath, bless you all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Friday Night Sabbath coming out of Babylon here from the Gathering of Christ Church. where we connect the dots of our reality and current events with the Word of God and Bible and prophecy. I'm your host, Brother and Elder Lamar Karab. It is 7:26 p.m. Central Standard Time, December 2nd, 2022. And I want to say happy Feast of Dedication to all you all out there who observe and follow the holy days of this time of the year, wintertime, the memorial of the Feast of Dedication, as well as tomorrow night at sundown starts winter, the High Holy Day, Intercalary Day of winter, Friday, Saturday night to Sunday night tomorrow, starting tomorrow. I'm going to say happy holidays, the real holidays, not the pagan holidays that everyone else has been celebrating, Thanksgiving, Christmas, they'll be celebrating here in a few weeks. And so that, as well as saying Shabbat Shalom, this is a weekly Sabbath as well, Friday night to Saturday night. So we have back-to-back Sabbath this weekend, or double Sabbath. And so we want to give all praise to the Most High God, whose name in the Hebrew is Ahayah. His son's name, who the world calls Jesus Christ, his name in the Hebrew is Yeshaya, and the Holy Spirit in the Hebrew, which is Ruach. They make up the Godhead, or the Elohim, some may know as Elohim. Okay, I want to give all praise, honor, and glory for the opportunity to be here before you all, doing another broadcast, as well as being here to celebrate the weekly Sabbath, as well as the Feast of Dedication. I would say the Feast of Dedication is one of my favorite high holy times of the year. I love the story, the history, and we're going to go into that history tonight and show just how connected that history is to our current reality and prophecy and everything that's happening right now. I go through this information, and it's just mind-boggling just how the history just lines up with prophecy and the importance of understanding prophecy, because as Ecclesiastes tells us, there's no new thing under the sun. Okay, no new thing under the sun. So we're going to go into that in a moment. But I pray you brothers and sisters out there doing well. We haven't been here in a couple of weeks. It's been a couple of weeks since we last broadcasted on a Friday night. So I pray that you all are doing well since then, that you have a blessed weekly Sabbath, as well as your Feast of Dedication is blessed also. So let me go ahead and get the title for tonight's broadcast. Tonight's title, From Operation Lockstep to the Abomination of Desolation. From Operation Lockstep to the Abomination of Desolation. All right, so I'm sure that many of you out there may not be familiar with what, you know, some of that title, maybe even all the title means, but we will get that and expound on that. Definitely a lot of information to bring out tonight. Very, very powerful information. I can't wait to go into it. It's going to be off the hinges with the information tonight. Okay, but before we go into the information, I just want to go ahead and give some quick announcements. We, of course, are streaming tonight here on Twitch, twitch.tv/GOCC Southwest. Let everyone know out there where we are streaming. You can watch it through any device, phone, computer, TV, tablet. You can look at it through a browser by simply typing the address in or going to twitch.tv and searching for GOCC Southwest. Or you can download the app and watch it through your app. So a couple of different options to try there. If one isn't working, try the other. If you're using Wi-Fi, if you're using cellular, try Wi-Fi, internet, because, you know, the streaming could be effective depending on the method that you're using to tune in tonight. We are also streaming a multicast right now through Blog Talk. The guest call, the number is 515-605-9327, 515-605-9327. You can press 1. That'll put you in the guest call queue so that we can take your call. I will check the calls periodically. And then that way those who would like to speak, you have a question, you have information you'd like to add to tonight's broadcast, you have the opportunity there, okay? All broadcasts are, they're actually backed up on our Odyssey channel, okay? Odyssey.com, and we are GOCC Southwest on Odyssey, okay? You can find that link also here under Twitch, under the About section, or make sure you're subscribed to GOCC Southwest, and then that way you have access to all of our backup channels, the links for those. You also have the notifications that go out where we're going to be at, because sometimes we are here on Twitch, sometimes we are on GOCC Media, where we have been doing our GOCC Fit series of health, wellness, fitness, exercise, all those things related to that content there. So, you know, the main place you want to be subscribed, GOCC Southwest on YouTube, it'll let you know all the details of this particular ministry and what we're doing, mainly when it comes to Friday nights, okay? We also have the church main channel, A Gathering 144 on YouTube. We also have the backup channel on YouTube, GOCC NYC. Make sure you subscribe to both. That way you're up to date when it comes to the Sabbath lessons, it comes to the Wednesday broadcast, the Friday Patreons, all the things related to the church. We have the website for our church, gatheringofchrist.org, where you can find out many, many things about this church, GOCC Network, where we have our entrepreneurs, small businesses, the community. We offer products and services. Make sure that you are checking that out there, supporting your brothers and sisters. You may find a lot of things there that can benefit you. And if you would like to join the GOCC Network, you can also join there through the website. We also have the Hebrew and Bible Academy. Hebrew and Bible Academy. All right. And historytimes.org is where you would go to sign up for the Hebrew and Bible Academy. So make sure that you are checking out all these particular church venues, platforms, so to speak. This is where you're going to be able to really tune in and get a lot of information when it comes to the church, the doctrine we teach. And so there you have that for the announcements for tonight. So without further ado, further delay, let's go ahead and bring back the title for tonight's stream. Tonight's stream title from Operation Lockstep to the Abomination of Desolation. From Operation Lockstep to the Abomination of Desolation. All right. And this is actually going into our third installment of the Abomination of Desolation series that we have been going into here on Friday nights. Okay. And so give me 1 second. I need to grab a book real quick because we are going to go into a couple books tonight. Give me 1 second here. Okay, so I've got my book, and before we actually tackle dealing with the from Operation Lockstep to the Abomination of Desolation, I want to really deal with, let's do this here, give me one moment. Speaking of our installments on the Abomination of Desolation that we've been doing and going over, we first started with from Operation Mockingbird. Okay, from Operation Mockingbird to the desolation of abomination, where we pretty much went into and proved the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, the FBI, the government actually runs and controls our, what they would call mainstream media. Okay, we went through the Project Mockingbird white papers, declassified, these declassified papers, okay? So that's one thing that we must keep in mind, and we're going to deal with that tonight more as well. The fact that our news is controlled through the CIA. So what you would think you're getting in news is actually CIA-controlled, orchestrated, manufactured, agended news, propaganda, okay, PSYOP, psychological operations, okay. From there, we went into from Operation Northwoods to the desolation of abomination. And from there, we were able to show that pretty much every war that America has been a part of since its inception has been some sort of false flag to create the war. Okay, so they've given us one narrative in history, right? In this case, you see on your screen, you have the Bay of Pigs, you had the Cuban Missile Crisis, to where America was looking to go to war against Cuba. But all of this was orchestrated by the CIA, the FBI, the government, to actually create a provocation where they were showing in their own papers, where they were planning out what you would call a false flag, where they would create a event or an incident where America would, you know, attack itself and then blame the person who they want to go to war with as a pretext to now go to war. And they did this time and time and time again. So all the wars throughout history, if you research and look at the history, and a lot of them have been declassified, to show that there was always a false flag by the government that created and caused the war. All right. And being that that's the case, so now before we go into Operation Lockstep, I want to deal with from Ukraine to the desolation of abomination, because we're now currently in the this new, I guess, you know, huge problematic war, the latest, greatest war that America has itself supposedly involved in is the war in Ukraine. So I want to deal with Ukraine first before we deal with Operation Lockstep, all right? And for those of you who may remember, we showed this video briefly in our Build Back Better broadcast that we did sometime around a year ago, or it was earlier this year, Build Back Better, for those that remember. And I want to deal now with Ukraine, this Ukraine war. Now that we know that the CIA, through Operation Northwoods, have, you know, controlled and false flagged and used psychological operations and propaganda to create wars, can we say that the war in Ukraine is any different? Well, we're going to go into some history here now that shows just how deep the rabbit hole goes with this Ukraine war and all things that are centered around it. Okay, so let's go back to the video that we briefly shared in our Build Back Better stream that we did. I only briefly showed it because it was on YouTube and we didn't want to get a strike on our channel. Okay, but there's some very, very important information that's brought out in this video, a lot of different angles to hit. So we're going to tackle them all, but there's really one thing I really want to focus on here. Okay, so this particular video is titled DNA Under Siege, Bioweapons Developed in Ukraine Specifically Target Abrahamic Bloodline. Okay, a lot going on right now in prophecy. There's a lot of news, a lot of things going on. So we're going to touch on a lot of these things tonight. But we have to really understand history to understand what's really happening right now politically, with all the things happening with the polarizing political figures or influencers, whether you're talking to influencers in the black community who have, had a lot of scrutiny in the media in recent weeks or recent months or years. All the different things that are happening, in our news, and what's this all about? Well, to get to the bottom of that, you must go back in history. Okay, so what is this DNA under siege bioweapons developed in Ukraine specifically target Abrahamic bloodline? And who is the Abrahamic bloodline? Abraham had many nations. Okay, so we're gonna deal with that tonight. Also, so let's go ahead and check this video out here. So this is the first thing that we want to establish tonight. We're going to deal with as we put the foundation into tonight's content. Ukraine was the ancient, at one point, was the ancient Khazarian Empire. Now, some may say, well, what's the Khazarian Empire? Okay. Who are the Khazars? We're going to break that down tonight. This is very important history and understanding, so we can understand why this so-called war, what they're telling us is a war is happening in Ukraine between Russia, Ukraine being backed by America. Okay. Let's understand this first before we go into the history. It was the land of the Khazars, okay? Who are the Khazars? We're going to break that down tonight. So they're telling us it's territorial. It's a fight over land. Now, biblically, if you understand the one nation that wasn't given any land, then you can now maybe understand who in the Bible this is speaking of that would fight. It's fighting over land. This same particular nation was also given the gift of warfare. Okay, so a lot of different characteristics and attributes being displayed that would identify who is the culprit behind this colonization type of behavior and characteristics. Ashkenazi, and you see here on your screen, you see your six-pointed star, which we know is associated with the Israeli flag, Jewish, Judaism. Okay, let's talk about these things very much in detail tonight. All right, a lot of this has been talked about, or he's been brought out here recently in these political conversations, these entertainment and influential conversations here lately about, Judaism, Jewish. Okay, a lot of talk on that here lately. Well, let's go into the history behind this so we can really understand what a lot of people may not know the history on. Okay, you can't understand the Jewish people and what's going on right now in the media with all this talk about Jewish without knowing the history of where it all began. The Khazaria here, this is a good starting place or a good point of reference to go back to in history. Z Zionism, another term that we must really familiarize ourselves with, because you've had a lot of anti-Semitic talk here lately in recent weeks, past month and a half or so. Anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic, okay? But now we're talking about Zionism. Who are the Zionists? What is Zionism? Okay, this particular doctor, I think her name is what, Ariande Joy, she's going into some of the history here. Very, very important history on these particular individuals, because in order to understand world history, you must understand this particular part of history, the Zionists, Ashkenazi, Khazars, before you can even have a conversation about Jewish Judaism or anti-Semitism or Shemitic. So in their Talmud, in their Kabbalah, in their records, in their oral tradition, that they teach those who are Jewish, Zionists, that they are the chosen people and they can steal land. They can do this to the Gentiles or Goyim. They can do that to them. Okay. Now it might start to make sense on the complaints that have been made recently. People like Ye, people like maybe not necessarily Kyrie Irving made these complaints, but Ye about how he was calling the Jewish media, the Jewish Hollywood, how they're doing evil practices against me, evil contracts, how they're dealing with me unequitably with their contracts, and they're dealing and with the black community. Why are they funding black immorality or immorality toward the black community? Well, it's in their Talmudic records that they can do so, and they're justified in doing so in the Talmudic records. So she, Ariana Love, is talking about this Babylonian satanic Talmudic records that is basically at the center and heart of Zionism. Now, she's saying that Russia and the Khazars are mortal enemies. We're gonna see tonight whether or not that's true or not, right? That's what they would teach us in mainstream academia. Let's see if they're really enemies or not tonight. So she's saying that there's bioweapons being created that are ethnic specific to destroying a certain or certain ethnicities. They're creating weapons for this. And this is the part that we really have to understand when we're looking at the modern reality of what's going on in Ukraine. We have to understand all these components. We have to understand the history behind Ukraine, Tsar and empire. We have to understand this vaccine agenda, bioweapons, okay, that people are volunteering to take themselves, how this all connects. We're going to connect all these dots tonight, how it all connects, and it's going to make it, hopefully, those who watch this video, This stream tonight, will have a total understanding of what's going on right now with all the political hot talking points that are out there right now. There's a lot of them, okay? Anti-Semitism, Jews, Israelites, vaccines, COVID-19, the economy, the war in Ukraine, on and on and on and on and on. Tonight's going to connect the dots to it all. So the Khazars have been working on this for a very long time. Okay, this plan goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years. We're going to go into all that history tonight, a lot of it. You see that? Once you start to talk about them and expose this information, you don't have to be black. She started talking about this history and this information and exposing these people, these Zionists, Khazars, the Khazaran Empire. And what did they do to her? They started to attack her. So they accuse you of hate speech or anti-Semitism, okay? For you to expose their evil plans, they divert and try to blackball with terms like anti-Semitism, conspiracy theorists. See, all these are terms they use with the Jedi mind tricks to demonize, to blackball, to ostracize those who would speak truth. Okay, it doesn't matter what color you are. In this case, she's being attacked, being labeled for hate speech by these individuals, these Zionists. So she's saying that these same people, these Zionists, are creating bioweapons that they're immune from. Okay, they'll attack the goyim. It's the goyim who will get sick, who will die from these bioweapons, not them. They've made sure that these genetically engineered weapons, bioweapons, won't hurt them, but will hurt everyone else. The Khazars or Khazars take on different forms throughout history. The Transformers. Okay, they can be anybody, and at the same time they can be nobody. The mystery of iniquity. Okay. The reason why it's so hard to identify, a lot of people will say they, the powers that be. Okay, who are they? Who is that they? Well, if you don't understand the Bible, and if you haven't identified the mystery of iniquity and that man of sin that must be revealed, then it will be a mystery to you who that they is. Okay, you'll be looking for one man, an Antichrist. Or you'll be chasing down this rabbit hole or that rabbit hole, chasing your tail into nothing. Okay? But once you understand the Bible and you can identify who that man of sin is, who we know is Amalek, son of Esau. Okay? Then it no longer becomes a mystery, and it's easy to identify them throughout history, who they are. You can't get caught up in the Russia versus Ukraine versus America. You can't get caught up in all that because you all understand who is who. Wiping out bloodlines, ethnic cleansing is nothing new for them. Okay? Everyone else is goyim, cattle, herd. Okay? Made to be exterminated. This is in their own Talmudic and Jewish writings, what they believe. The dragons of Arabia. This is very interesting. This is something I have been pondering on myself. Second Edges calls them the dragons of Arabia. Check out this. Is the Saudi royal family Jewish? They're pretty light-skinned to be Arabs. Are these actually Edomites in Saudi Arabia that are actually in rulership over the real sons of Ishmael? Very, very interesting. Interesting study that should be done to determine the reason maybe Second Esdras Chapter 15 calls them the dragons of Arabia, right? We know who the dragon is. And Revelation talks about that red dragon talking about the Roman Empire. All right, so typically you see dragon synonymously connected to Esau. Okay, this would be a good study, but This is what she's saying that they are. They're Jewish. Okay? They're not Ishmael. They come from the Khazarian bloodlines. And remember, they're able to morph themselves into any people they want to. If they want to be Jewish, they're Jewish. If they want to, you know, if they'll be Israeli, they're Israeli. If they want to be Arabs, they're Arabs. Okay? They morph themselves into whoever they need to be. They're parasites. We're going to see them in history, how parasitical they are. And they suck the lifeblood out of whole nations, out of people, and discard them. All right, so now that we've done that, let's go in and start breaking some of this history down now. I first want to start, let me see. Let's start here. We're talking about some of the history that she just spoke about. Let me show you all a book that we're going to talk about tonight. Let me show you all this book. I'm pretty sure some of you are familiar with this one. Maybe not this latest edition, but there is a previous edition. How many of you all are familiar with this book here? The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Updated, expanded, and uncensored. Now, I had previously bought the original one with the black cover and the red bloody six-pointed star on it. This is the updated one. Okay, who do you see on the front? You see Rothschild in the middle. You see Benjamin Netanyahu, Hillary Clinton, the Pope, George Soros, Andrew Kissinger, or is it Harry Kissinger? Okay. A lot of Amalek or Zionism or Jewishness going on this front cover. So I want to go into that book tonight. But again, we're going into this history. So let me come up here to the top. So this is the PDF of the Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. For those of you that don't have it, you can actually download the PDF. This book actually goes through like a timeline of history. It doesn't go through every single year, but it goes through a lot of years of history dealing with this particular subject matter and these particular people. All right, as we scroll down here, what do we see? We see Khazaria, 740 AD, the Khazarian Empire. We have the Black Sea here. We have the Mediterranean Sea. We have the Caspian Sea. And around here, you have mountain ranges. You have the Bulgars. You have the Caucasus Mountains here. Now, let me, there we go. This picture here. All right. So as we see, this is Europe, and what you have in Europe is you have Ukraine that sits right in the middle, right in the heart of Europe. This is the ancient Khazarian Empire, as you can see here on your screen with the six-pointed star. When you zoom in, okay, you see the Khazar Empire. Again, Caspian Sea here, Black Sea here, Bulgar, Mountain Range. You also have this here, Black Sea, Caspian Sea. What sits in between both the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea? You have the Caucasus Mountains. Well, what people were actually named after the Caucasus Mountains? Caucasians. So Caucasians have their identification as a race, where the term Caucasian comes from the Caucasus Mountains, their place of origin. This is not the beginning of their origin, but it is in modern history a major point of history of time of identifying a good starting place going back into history, further history, to determine where they came from before that. But you can start here at the Caucasus Mountains. Okay. And now that we've done that and established this Khazarian Empire is modern day Ukraine. So now maybe it's starting to make sense. What's going on with this war in Ukraine? What's it all about? We're going to show you. All right. First, I want to deal with this flag. What is this that we have here on the Ukrainian flag? All right. In the middle, we talked about this before. We have what is known as a trident. Right? A trident. And who holds the trident? None other than Poseidon in Greek mythology, or Neptune in Roman mythology. So the Greeks and the Roman worship Poseidon and Neptune as a god. Again, who were the Greeks and the Romans? Well, again, we're connecting dots here. We have the Black Sea, Caspian Sea, Khazarian Empire, Ukraine, right in the heart of Europe. Okay, and they put on their flag the Greco-Roman god Poseidon and Neptune. So I think it's pretty obvious. Not only that, but as you can see here, it says Khazarian Empire. Well, what are Russians known as? Any of you all familiar with the term Tsar? C-Z-A-R, Tsar. Well, Tsar is another way to say Khazar. Well, what's another way to say Khazar and Tsar? The origin of Khazar and Tsar comes from Caesar. Caesar. So who is Caesar? Roman. So we're starting to now understand through history the origin of this empire, of these people. You ever heard of the saying, all roads lead to Rome? Who these people are, where they came out of? We're going to keep going back in history, but I want to deal with this particular time. 740 AD. We're going to deal with Poseidon here in a moment, too. But let's go into this book, Synagogue of Satan. It says here, in 740 AD, in a landlock between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, known as Khazaria, a land which today is predominantly occupied by Georgia, but also reaches into Russia, Poland, Lithuania, Hungary, and Romania, and we're going to throw Ukraine in there also. The modern Jewish race is born. So modern Jewishness is born in this region. So what started? A modern Jewish race that incidentally is not Jewish, meaning that they're not those that the Bible speaks of as Israelites, but they claim to be Jewish. It says, how can this be, you ask? Well, at that time, the Khazarian people felt a vulnerable people as they had Muslims on one side of them and Christians on the other side of them. And I showed this in this particular image here, right? You have Christians on this side, and then you have below them Muslims down here with the crescent, moon, and star. Cross over here, crescent, moon, and star over here. So they found themselves here in the Caucasus Mountains region, pressed on both sides by Christians and Muslims, what this book is telling us. Furthermore, the Khazarian people were of neither faith and instead practiced idol worship, which made them ripe for invasion by a people who wished to convert them to an established faith. So these people never really believed in the Most High God. These people worshiped idols. What type of idols, you may ask? Well, the type of idols that they would put on their flag. Greek and Roman idols. That's who they put on their flag. The Greek gods, the Roman gods, okay, identifying the synagogue of Satan and the Zionists. It says here, the Khazarian king, King Bulan, decided in order to protect themselves against attack, the Khazarian people must convert to one of these faiths, but which one? So they had to convert, they're converts. This isn't their original belief as far as being Jews. They converted. If they converted to the Muslim faith, they would risk attack by the Christians. And if they converted to the Christian faith, they would risk attack by the Muslims. He had an idea. There was another race that he was aware were able to deal with both the Muslims and the Christians either side of him, predominantly in matters of trade, a race which also dealt with Khazarians in the same manner. That race was the Jews. Okay, so we're talking about Israelites here, original Israelites. King Bulan decided if he instructed his people to convert to Judaism, he could keep both the Muslims and the Christians happy as they were both already willing to trade with the Jews. So this is what he did. So these people converted into Judaism as a power move. Dealing with Ishmael and us, because again, you're talking about us ruling Europe. Remember, Rome fell and then the Dark Ages rose in Europe, which was us. So we're what you would call those Christians in Europe pressing them on one side, and then you have Ishmael pressing them on the other side. And a lot of our people were converted by Ishmael through Islam into being Moors. This is during all that time, the Byzantine Empire, the Ottoman Empire, during all this time. This is that time of history. Okay? So they said, let us convert into Judaism. King Bulan was right. He would live to see his country unconquered, his people convert to Judaism enthusiastically and adopt the principles of the most holy Jewish book, the Talmud. All right? The Babylonian Talmud. There are many things the king would not live to see, however. He would not live to see his Asiatic race of converts to Judaism one day represent 90% of all the Jews on the planet and call themselves Ashkenazi Jews, when in fact they were not Jews, but simply an Asiatic race of people who converted to the Jewish religion. Wool is still continuing to speak the Khazarian language of Yiddish, totally different to the language of Hebrew. So this particular group of people, these Khazars or Tsars or Caesars who fled into Khazaria, hijacked the whole heritage. They took the identity of being Israelites or Jews, and they took the Hebrew language and mixed it and mangled it with the European dialects, and it became Yiddish. And so this is the group that has the monopoly on Jewishness and Judaism today, the Khazars. So we're talking about Jewish today. This is these people, converts, imposters, thieves. But they're more than that. These people are very clever. He would not live to see his people turn to the descendants of a man far more powerful than him, who would be born just over 1,000 years later in Germany, a man named Bauer, who would spawn the Rothschild dynasty. He would not live to see the dynasty usurp the wealth of the world through deception and intrigue, which they would finance through the vast riches they accumulate as they usurp the wealth of the world by gaining control of the world's money supply. He would not live to see his people demand a homeland for themselves in Palestine as their birthright and ensure every prime minister there from its inception in 1948 is an Ashkenazi Jew, even though the true homeland of the Ashkenazi Jews, Khazaria, is his kingdom some 800 miles away. So these people are from the Caucasus Mountains. The Caucasus Mountains, what are they doing in Palestine? So you see why they don't want to have that conversation? That people will question their identity and don't scream anti-Semitism. And to confirm that they can stronghold their position, they have positioned themselves into a place of power to where they can silence you and blackball you. To where it doesn't matter if you have the truth about who they are. You're not going to talk about it, or you will get canceled. I'm going to go into that tonight. What's going on with these brothers that have been attacked in the media and being called anti-Semitic? Why are they being called anti-Semitic? Well, this is giving us a introduction into the reason why. And he would not live to see his people fulfill Bible prophecy as the synagogue of Satan. Let's go there real quick. Two scriptures here. Revelation chapter 2 and 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Those who would say they are Jews and are not, but are out of what synagogue? Satan's. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 9. You see, once you start to identify who you are, then you then ask the question, well, then who are they? And they can't have that cat let out the bag. Because then a whole lot of history comes out of atrocious crimes, starting with the hijacking of a identity. Revelation 3 and 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. What do? Lie. What did Christ say in John chapter 8? Ye of your father the devil. Right? Ye of your father the devil. Let's read it. Let's hold Revelation 3 and 9. Why are they of their father the devil? John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So what is Satan's children? If this is his characteristics, what if this is their daddy's characteristics, what would their characteristics be? Not abiding in the truth. So they must control and strong arm all narratives to control the truth. With what? It says here, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So they must control the media, all history, all information with lies. Because the truth will do what? The truth sets us free. The truth makes us free. So they'll just scream anti-Semitism whenever truth is coming out so that they can hold on to the lie, the darkness. This is the reason why they don't like Christ. All right? Those who are familiar with Harry Houdini, Harry Rosenberg, when he was on the Elders stream a couple weeks ago, when as soon as Christ's name was brought up, it was like his blood was boiling. You know, like can you be anti-Semitic towards Christ? Oh no, because we don't accept him. We don't acknowledge him. Why would we do that? Right? They hate Christ because Christ identifies them. Okay. So of course they would hate Christ. So that way you would not read Christ identifying them and find out who they are. Starting with Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9. Now, when you go down here, and if you don't have this book or you haven't read this book, it's a must read. It says here, on February 23rd, Mayor Amschel Bauer, an Ashkenazi Jew, is born in Frankfurt, Germany, the son of Moses Amschel Bauer, a moneylender and the proprietor of a counting house. So they became the bankers. They took full control of the world's money. Who has that power today? Moses Amschel Bauer places a red sign above the entrance door to his counting house. The sign is a red hexagram that geometrically and numerically translates into the number 666, which under Rothschild instruction will end up on the Israeli flag some two centuries later. Again, they were idol worshipers. This the Bible identifies as the star of Remphan of their god Molech. They worship Molech. And this is the star of their god, Remphan. It's got nothing to do with Israelites. So those Israelites out there are rocking six-pointed stars. Okay? It's the number of the beast. Now, when you go down here, this Bauer character, right, let's talk about this Bauer character here who came up with this six-pointed star. Let me see here. Did I pass it? One moment to find it here, family. So it says here, 1760, during this decade, Mayor Amschel Bauer works for a bank owned by the Oppenheimers in Hanover, Germany. He is highly successful and becomes a junior partner. Whilst working at the bank, he becomes acquainted with General von Estorff. Following his father's death, Bauer returns to Frankfurt to take over his father's business. Bauer recognizes the significance of the red hexagram and changes his name from Bauer to Rothschild. So this is where the name Rothschild came from. Bauer. After the red hexagram or sign signifying 666 hanging over the entrance door, Rot is German for red, Schild is German for shield or sign. So Rothschild means what? Red shield. Okay. Hexagram. Rimfan, Star Rimfan, Moloch. Now we're going to come back to this more, this book later. Because this book exposes them all the way back to where their beginning and primal origin is. But I want to deal with this flag now, because it's the same way they would have a red hexagram on the Israeli flag, they would have this pitchfork on this Ukrainian flag, the pitchfork of Poseidon. Fork of Poseidon, also known as the trident. Here we are on Encyclopedia Britannica. Let's talk about Poseidon for a moment. In ancient Greek religion, god of the sea and water generally, earthquakes and horses. That's Poseidon. The name Poseidon means either husband of the earth or lord of the earth. Okay, he is the personification of the sea and the oldest Greek divinity of the waters. Check it out. His weapon and main symbol was the trident, perhaps once a fish spear. So this on the Ukraine flag is a weapon. A weapon. What are weapons used for? Warfare. Warfare. Okay. So this is a sign of war. What do we have going on right now? The Ukraine, Russia, U.S., NATO war. So-called. We're going to talk about that war in a moment. Okay, but understand that America has now given $100 billion in military aid to Ukraine because of this war. So what do we see happening right now? We see military coming into this region now behind this flag of war of Poseidon. And guess who's sitting right here to the south of the ancient Khazarian Empire? None other than Iran. Okay? So how convenient is it? Because remember, Russia and Iran are supposed to be allies. How convenient that there's a war between Russia and Ukraine that would then allow America to come in it to now start to stockpile military right to the north of Iran. The same way America has done in Iraq, which is to the west of Iran. If you look at Iran, everywhere around Iran now is being surrounded in one false flag after another with military. See, we must understand history, we must understand geography to understand what's really going on here on this chessboard, or else we'll get caught up in all the propaganda and hype. The reason that we first started Desolation of Abomination series, we started with Operation Mockingbird, because they must first get control of the media so that they can control the narratives of what they can now shape and form for you to believe of what the truth is or what history tells us or what's happening or what will happen in the future. So they control the media. And then from here, we went into Operation Northwoods to show you every war has been a false flag for colonization purposes, so America can take control of countries. What's the country they're looking to take control of? They're looking to topple, that's in the way right now? Iran. So they'll create this fake war here, and I'll say it's fake because we've showed, we've gone through articles and video, people are hanging out at the beach in Ukraine in the middle of a war. People, you know, carrying their life on as normal through the streets, walking and coming and going. It's supposed to be in the height of a war, okay? It's so that now when they're sending military aid, and that doesn't include the other hundreds of billions of dollars in this regular money they've sent to Ukraine. At the same time, this is the heart. This is the heart of Europe. Okay? This is the heart of Europe. You have the East Europe here. You have your West Europe here, Eastern Europe here, and Ukraine, ancient Khazaria, sits right in the middle as a military hub for war. Strategically, the reason why what? The reason why their flag has a symbol of war on it, a Poseidon. Now, we're going to talk more about this Poseidon character. All right, let's talk more about this guy, this god that they worship. He is the god of earthquakes, but check it out. See, a lot of people think Poseidon is just dealing with the water. It says Poseidon was also connected to dry land, and many of his oldest places of worship in Greece were inland. So he was also a god of land. That's why he was called the Lord of the Earth or Husband of the Earth, because he was dealing with the waters and the land. This is very key, what we're about to go into next. Though these were sometimes centered on pools and streams or otherwise associated with water. Now, we're going to talk about the Greeks tonight. Because you can't talk about the abomination of desolation and not talk about the Greeks. We can't be in the Feast of Dedication and not talk about the Greeks. So here it is, their Greek god. Here he is on the Ukraine flag. On the Ukraine flag. Now let's go to Revelation. Chapter 13, the same chapter where we just read in the Synagogue of Satan, where it said the hexagon or the six-pointed Israeli Jewish star was 666. The same chapter that talks about 666, Revelation 13. Check this out. Stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. I saw a beast. Now check it out. John the Revelator was living during the time of the Romans. You don't think he wasn't familiar with Roman mythology and Greek mythology? It was everywhere. Okay? You couldn't go down the street without seeing one of their gods. And the image that he's seen of this beast coming out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. So this is interesting when helping to identify this beast, to identify who are the people behind, because the beast, according to Daniel chapter 7, is an empire. Okay, who are the people behind this beast? Well, I think they're making it clear who they are. I think they're making it very clear who they are. And John is giving us, and he's using Roman and Greek mythology, their gods, to identify them. When you understand who this beast is. And we've already talked about it. Caucasus Mountains. The Khazars in Russia, they're known as Tsars, which dates back to Caesar, Rome. So what John is seeing is the Roman Empire comprised of many parts, seven heads, 10 horns. Through study, we know the 10 horns is the European Union, which would comprise partly of Ukraine. So here we have the year of the 10 horns. In Ukraine, being identified as Poseidon, the beast of the sea. But Poseidon isn't just the beast of the sea. Let's see if John points that out too. If we go down to verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? Who can make war with this beast? This beast now is gaining its power back. $100 billion in military aid to Ukraine since the beginning of the year. The trident, a symbol of war. Who can make war with this beast? The 10 horns is rising. You're going to get that next. The 10 horns is rising. When you drop down, verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. What did Poseidon? What was he the Lord of? He was the personification of the sea, beast of the sea. And because he was the god of earthquakes, he was also connected to dry land, beast of the earth. John is identifying the Roman, because before they were Roman, they were Greeks. He's identifying the Greco-Roman Empire and identifying them according to their gods. Because there's no such thing as a physical beast with seven heads and 10 horns that's coming out of the water and coming out of the earth. Okay. So John is living during this time when he is indoctrinated with Roman mythology, indoctrinated with Greek mythology. At the same time, these are the only people that are worshiping these gods in this form. These are the originators of Poseidon and Neptune. Now, of course, other nations would worship this same god in another form. Okay, but these other nations aren't in power. Rome is in power. Okay, and so John is seeing the Roman Empire now being made an empire springing up in America. And this same empire, remember, Esau's gift was warfare. And it says here, verse 13, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. Because nobody can make war with this beast. Who can make war with America right now and win? Well, let's go to chapter 17 real quick, because now America is pumping hundreds of billions of dollars back into ancient Khazaria. And you would want to know what in the world is going on. Well, you must understand history. If you understand that this is the ancient Khazarian Empire, who these people are, who they worship, okay, you'll understand what's really going on here, and you can see past the whole Russia, Ukraine, America narrative. History in the Bible and prophecy totally destroys the mystery. When we go to Revelation 17, verse 12 says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Okay, so these 10 horns are going to receive power at the end for a short time. Well, that power now is being transitioned and moved back to the 10 horns. Military being pumped into the heart of the 10 horns. Verse 16 says, and of course these 10 horns are going to go to war with Christ to show you that America will be done. How will America be done? Verse 16, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." So right now what's happening? America is being made desolate and naked through military aid, financial aid to Ukraine or ancient Khazaria. It's all going back to the 10 horns for war. War with who, you may ask? Iran. And Iran and the 10 horns are going to go to war with America when it's all said and done. Okay, after they come against Iran and this war starts in this area, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, it's going to then turn, according to 2 Esdras 15, Revelation 18, Jeremiah 50 and 51, and it's going to come back to America. But America must be broken down all the way to its, you know, last resource. It must be sucked dry. They just need you to buy into the narrative while they get away with the highway robbery and don't challenge the narrative of why this money is going over there. Oh, people, oh, you know, Ukraine, they need the money. People got Ukraine flags on their social media and buying. You know, you see more Ukraine flags than American flags in this country. Yeah, they've mind controlled you into supporting your demise. They always do. That's what's going on here. And now, so let's deal with this narrative then. We've already shown past broadcasts, you can check them out if you haven't seen them, Operation Mockingbird. The whole mainstream media is controlled and ran by the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency. Many, many, many articles, many, many, journalists have come out and shown this, blown the whistle on this. In conjunction, declassified white papers from America's government prove this. What do they also prove? That the wars are false flags. They're not real wars. At least not real in the sense that they happen organically. These are wars that are created by America for an outcome, a gender-purposed outcome. Would that be any different with Ukraine? Even though we've gone through and shown them hanging out at the beach in the middle of a war in Ukraine. Time and time again, they get caught with their pants down. This comes off of Wayback Machine, WashingtonPost.com. Associated Press reporter fired over erroneous story on Russia attack. Journalist James LaPorta has provided information for story that inaccurately suggested Russia launched a missile strike on Poland. Remember that last week when they said Russia attacked Poland? Well, it was fake. It was fake news. Right? It didn't happen. What else do you got going on outside of the fake news, the Ukrainians hanging out on beaches in the middle of a war? You got Zelensky, who is the leader over Ukraine. He's doing all of these interviews on a green screen. This guy is doing all his interviews on a green screen. Hollywood. Where is he even at? Is he even in Ukraine? It says, this is how the impressive Zelensky speeches are produced. Lots of green screens and high-tech editing. Hollywood is helping out. All that technology to make things appear real. Impressive propaganda. We could not do it better ourselves. And he's been on Vogue magazine posing in the middle of a war, doing all type of model type posing, him and his wife. Is that on green screen too? See, when you're dealing with false flag operations, it's a Hollywood psyop. You know, fresh with crisis actors, paid government shields. And see, this is why they need the media all the way in on this, to be able to cover the story with lies, to sell the image of the green screen or the Wizard of Oz behind the green curtain. This is their sorcery. This is how they're able to make reality alternative and give it to you as if it's real. But nonetheless, this war, it's going to be between Russia and Ukraine. It's going to be between the Tin Horns and Iran. UK confirms delivery of advanced Grimstone 2 missiles to Ukraine. This is November 30th, 2022. Okay. So they're pumping in nothing but weaponry into this country whose flag has their God's weapon on it, Poseidon, the beast of the sea and of the land, to identify who they are. Yeah, we're identifying them to a T tonight. They can no longer hide. That man of sin must be revealed. And his plans must be revealed. So unless it's a war the Bible speaks about, it's a psyop and a false flag. We can talk about the war in Iran because the Bible speaks about the needs. Okay? But all the rest of these wars, if it's not a proxy war leading to Iran, then it's a psyop and a false flag. And even psyops and false flags are used in those proxy wars that lead to Iran with fake news and propaganda. All right. So I wanted to deal with from Ukraine. Speaking of Operation Northwoods, from Ukraine to the desolation of abomination. Picking up where we left off last broadcast. Well, we're proving all of this through declassified documents, history, the Bible, prophecy, so that you can't get caught up in any of the deception in the news. CIA-controlled, trauma-based, mind-controlled news. So now let's move forward to tonight's broadcast from Operation Lockstep to the Abomination of Desolation. What is Operation Lockstep? And lockstep in with all the information we're talking about tonight and in previous times. Okay. Now, we started this out a few weeks ago talking about John F. Kennedy. Right? Here's a quote. It says, there's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. But while I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose this plot. This was 7 days before JFK was assassinated. Some may say that this was not a quote by JFK. You have Politico and the fact checkers come out and say that this wasn't said by JFK. But typically, generally, when those particulars come out, Snopes and the like, and try to say that it's fact checked and that it's you know, not true or it's a conspiracy theory, I tend to automatically think that it's all the way true when they come out, because there's no reason for, if it's not true, there's no reason for them to come out in a horde to try to discredit it not being true. They come out in swarms and as a horde every time something comes out that they would deem conspiracy or conspiracy theory. And let's say even if JFK didn't say these exact words, we listened to the actual speech he gave on secret societies. So even if he didn't say these words directly in that speech alone, we heard the words in his own mouth, he said these words indirectly. Okay, so it doesn't matter whether or not if this is true or not. The secret society tape we played of him said all this and more. But I wanted to start here to understand what is at play, what's going on in our reality, and what is this Operation Lockstep, all right? What is this Operation Lockstep? And remember, for those out there, they would talk about conspiracy theorists. What are conspiracy theories? Spoiler alerts. Those are those who are getting elect insight to future reality or present reality or past reality, only to be vindicated later through declassified documents, history, or Bible prophecy playing itself out. Okay, it's funny how it always comes out later that it was true. And they never go back and apologize to those people that they called conspiracy theorists. And they never apologize for what they did in trying to discredit either. But now let's deal with this Operation Lockstep. In order to understand Operation Lockstep, you must go to the RockefellerFoundation.org. Start with the Rockefellers, which we're going to talk about them in particular here in a moment. RockefellerFoundation.org, innovating for a bold future. Check the date out. The date is October 27th, 2020. So at the end of the year that you had the greatest lockdown in the history of the world, the Rockefeller Foundation releases a blog for innovating for a bold future, which, if I didn't know any better, would sound very eerily on par with this guy, with his World Economic Forum, that the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Reset our world or innovate for a bold future. Let's check it out here. It says, at the Rockefeller Foundation, we've always tried to stay one step ahead. Oh, say it ain't so. Imagining futures, right? Check it out. Imagining futures that inspire bold action and making catalytic bets that can lead to long-term change. As an institution deeply rooted in science and technology, we understand their transformational power to address today's challenges and help plan for those we haven't yet envisioned. In the 1930s, Warren Weaver, who led the Rockefeller Foundation's programs in natural sciences, had a hunch that chemical and physical explanations of life would lead to a whole new world of research and discovery. He coined the term molecular biology, and a field was born. In 1956, the Rockefeller Foundation supported the Dartmouth Summer Research Project on artificial intelligence, which was the first use of artificial intelligence as well. So here it is, Rockefeller in 1956, the foundation, was the first to use this term. After some fits and starts, that field exploded too. And now artificial intelligence has combined with molecular biology to accelerate the development of vaccines and therapeutics for the world's worst pandemic since 1918. So they also have their hand in molecular biology with vaccine development. Coincidence? Check it out. Could any of this have been predicted? This is the question they ask. Absolutely not. So even though they told you from the beginning, they imagine futures, right? And even though they have a white paper we're about to go into, they always like to shoot themselves in the foot. And one thing about a lie is that it's hard to keep covered up. Okay, so we're going to expose this question and answer. Could any of this have been predicted? Their answer, absolutely not. However, both molecular biology and artificial intelligence were guided by visions of positive futures where both fields contributed to improving people's well-being. How convenient. With their foresight of way ahead of the curve thinking, in molecular biology and artificial intelligence, visions of positive futures, they were able to be ahead of the curve and be just there in time to help out when the pandemic happened or whatever else is needed for the betterment of mankind. Unfortunately, we must also plan for futures that aren't as bright, be it due to a disease, outbreak, or natural disaster, to minimize harm and prepare for recovery. In 2009, the Rockefeller Foundation conducted an exercise to explore the future of technology and development and identify ways to better respond to emerging challenges. The results were captured in a report that includes several plausible scenarios that could impact millions of people around the world. One such scenario, lockstep. Okay, there it is. One such scenario, lockstep, described a fictional pandemic that would infect 20% of the world in 2012, killing 8 million people in just 7 months. Okay, so here we have another event. Simulation or operation. Called lockstep, it described a fictional pandemic way ahead of time. In this case, we'll see it was 2010 that they ran. Because remember, they imagined the future. Just so coincidentally, almost on par, the future plays out exactly what they imagined. Now that we're well into a real pandemic, conveniently, we see some chilling similarities between our current Zoom-centered world and lockstep. Check it out. Gives you goosebumps, don't it? That's what they're telling you. It's chilling. Chilling similarities that now that this pandemic has happened, and we're in our Zoom conferences, and we're looking back at lockstep. How closely related. How prophetic they are. Just chilling, isn't it? The report predicted that telepresence technologies would respond to the demand for less expensive, lower bandwidth, sophisticated communication systems for populations whose travel is restricted. So they predicted the whole Zoom boom. Remember how 2020 came, the lockdown happened, and everybody was using Zoom? They predicted that too, because travel would be restricted. And you notice how Zoom was there just in time and ready to go. It just came, emerged out of 2020 as everybody using Zoom. They made sure that they didn't have any other thing that people could use, that Zoom was there as the primary platform for teleconferences and for the workplace from people working from home. Other predictions were off, including the emergence of MRI technologies to detect abnormal behavior with antisocial intent. But we'll see if those things were off. Maybe they just haven't happened yet. While baseless posts have circulated recently calling the exercise part of a diabolical plan for world domination, we see it as further evidence of the importance of scenario planning in helping government. So people are coming out and saying, wait a minute, Operation Lockstep is too close to what happened with the pandemic and the lockdown, right? These are what they would now call conspiracy theorists, that they're not part of a diabolical plan for world domination, that this is just further proof or evidence the importance of thinking about the future and planning. That's all they're saying that they did. We just thought of the future and what could happen. And we planned. And it just conveniently happened, and we had the perfect plan in place for the present and future of how the world should now be reshaped. It says here, institutions and others navigate near-term decisions that can have long-term impact. Our hope then, as it is now, was to focus on what we don't know so we could make better plans to address a real pandemic such as the one we're facing today. So this was a damage control piece. For all the, you notice how every time there's something that comes out, they have to put out some type of rebuttal, use their fact checkers, you know, conspiracy theorists. And now we'll be heralded as saviors that can predict the future and can give, you know, perfect solutions to the problem so that when the next event happens, okay, the next pandemic or whatever it is happens, that they'll trust us because we've shown before we can predict the future and provide present solutions for the problems presently. This is what they would want us to believe. So let's check a video out here. Let's check this video out. Rockefeller Foundation's Operation Lockstep. Under the guise of a pandemic, we will create a prison. So all the Rockefellers out for world domination, a diabolical plan for world domination, that they are dismissing that they are, even though they're calling for a bold future, innovating for a bold future. Let's see if it's true or not that they're out for a diabolical master plan to control the world. What do we have here? Let's check this video out. So this is a document that Rockefeller put out in 2010. Scenarios for the future of technology and screen here, one second. Sorry about that. Scenarios for the future of technology and international development. All right, we're going to go into this tonight, this white Rockefeller Foundation white paper. Now, this is 2014. This is Harry Vox, a investigative journalist, talking about this Rockefeller white paper way back in 2014, 6 years before the lockdown. And you would think he was talking about it now or after the lockdown. And listen to his enthusiasm, not necessarily in support of it, but enthusiasm as far as that this needs to be exposed as if it was happening then. Now, this is all in this Rockefeller document, and we're going to go into it here in a moment. He's reading through it, okay? But this is 2014 when he was reading it, and the document was put out in 2010, okay? 6 years before the lockdown, he's here reading this craziness. So the same CDC or the same, you know, government agencies that have a patent on Ebola also have a patent on COVID-19. Okay. Okay, so let's deal with this document now. But before we do that, let's deal with the Rockefellers. And we'll go back to here. Can we find the Rockefellers in this book we went into earlier by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, The Synagogue of Satan, updated, expanded, and uncensored. Can we find, just as we found the Rothschilds, can we find the Rockefellers in this book before we even talk about the document? Well, I'm going to do a search. Rockefeller. Let's see what we have here. 1863. It says, in 1863, the Rothschilds used one of their own in America, John D. Rockefeller, to form an oil business called Standard Oil, which eventually takes over all of its competition. So Rockefeller would take over all the oil industry as a monopoly. All right. Used by the Rothschilds, who we identified earlier in this broadcast. So that's how the Rockefellers started. What else do we have with the Rockefellers? It says here on January, this is 1875 now. On January 1st, Jacob Schiff, now Solomon Loeb's son-in-law, after marrying his daughter, Teresa, takes control of the banking house, Kuhn, Loeb, and Co. Schiff goes on to finance the Standard Oil Company of crypto Jew John D. Rockefeller. So John D. Rockefeller is Jewish. A crypto Jew. What's a crypto Jew? A crypto Jew is someone who would disguise themselves as another ethnicity other than Jewish. Okay, he would hide himself just a red-blooded, you know, American to to hide his ties to Jewishness, to Jewry. What else do we have here? 1906, the Rothschilds claim that due to growing instability in the region and increasing competition from Rockefeller, it says here, the Rockefeller family are Rothschild descendants through a female bloodline. So the Rothschilds and Rockefellers are intermarried. They're married in together. They're a royal family of marrying it amongst one another as Jewish, going back to Khazar, okay, the Caucasus Mountains. It says they decide to sell their Caspian and Black Sea Petroleum Company to Royal Dutch and Shell. So again, they even name company after their land. Caspian and Black Sea, which is what? Ancient Khazaria or modern-day Ukraine. This is another example of the Rothschilds trying to hide their true wealth, which they are actually consolidating. So they not only do they hide them, their names and their identities, but they also hide their money. They hide their wealth by consolidating. Okay, understand the strategy of how these people work. That way you can identify them. You can't find a trail that leads back to them. They cover their tracks. What else do we have here? It talks about the railroad, how the Rockefellers will play a pivotal part in taking full control of the railroad system in America, which was key in pioneering the whole country, the infrastructure. All right, we have here, it says the first job of the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, is to gain control of the press, control of the media. What year is this? 1921. Okay, they need to take full control of the media so they can control the narrative. They have to have people believe their narrative, their reality. You cannot know the truth of what they're doing. It says this task is given to John D. Rockefeller, who sets up a number of national news magazines such as Life and Time. So Life and Time magazine set up by John D. Rockefeller. Not only there, not only does he stop there, he finances the Jew, Samuel Newhouse, to buy up and establish a chain of newspapers all across the country, and another Jew, Eugene Meyer, or Meyer, who would go on to buy up many publications such as Washington Post, Newsweek, and the Weekly Magazine. Okay, so this is what Kanye West was talking about when he was talking about the Jew media. All these Khazars, making sure they have a monopoly on media. It says the idea of controlling the press is not simply to censor news the Rothschilds don't want you to hear. It is primarily to be used as an education tool to condition the public, emphasizing what news is important and what news isn't. So it's indoctrination. A perfect example of this is a newspaper which runs lead stories about the shenanigans of whatever flavor of the month celebrity they choose. This is why they put out constant celebrity news. They want you to focus there instead of focusing on laws that are being passed, wars that are going on. Yet bury within the inside pages some brief account of an ongoing war they will overtly or covertly have an effect on each and every one of us. Another example of this is putting more and more emphasis on sport as opposed to news. So sports is bread and circus. So they'll put out the sports shenanigans to get you to focus on the sports instead of focusing on real life matters that are happening that affect our lives and livelihood. Okay? Understand the mind and mentality of these people. Check it out, 1922. President Theodore Roosevelt, who died in 1919, is quoted in the March 27th edition of the New York Times with the following statement. These international bankers and Rockefeller Standard Oil interests control the majority of newspapers, and the columns of these newspapers to club into submission or drive out of public office officials who refuse to do the bidding of the powerful corrupt cliques which compose the invisible government. This was Theodore Roosevelt, the president at the time, speaking in New York Times, how this invisible government, this mystery of iniquity, man of sin, we're identifying it according to the Bible, but they call it the invisible government, or you may hear some people say the deep state. The powers that be, whatever name they want to give it, the New World Order. They control the media. The reason why we had shown with Operation Mockingbird, all that power that the Rockefeller dynasty and others, other Jewish, had gathered, have now handed the baton to the Central Intelligence Agency. Now the CIA controls all your news. That was in the 50s. So this is the 20s. They were getting all this power and getting ready to hand it over to the CIA. They may not have known they were going to hand it over, but now it's centralized by government. The news is. It says, not only do they control the news, to depart from mere generalizations, let me say that at the head of this octopus are the Rockefeller Standard Oil interests and a small group of powerful banking houses, generally referred to as international bankers. So not only would they control the media, they would control the money, the banks, control your oil, petrol, your ability to travel. All right, take control of major aspects of our life. And this is all Roosevelt. This is all his quote telling you how they control the majority of newspapers and magazines in this country. Check this out. It says in 1929, April, Rothschild, Paul Wahlberg sends out a secret warning to his friends that a collapse and the nationwide depression has been planned for later this year. So the depression and the collapse was planned in 1929. It is certainly no coincidence that the biographies of all the Wall Street giants of that era, John D. Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan Jr., Joseph Kennedy, Bernard Baruch, and more, all marvel at the fact these people got out of the stock market completely just before the crash and put their assets into cash or gold. Similar thing happened at 9/11. All those people who were supposed to be in that building that day weren't there. All those people who had money and investments and all of that took their money out before the towers went down and put it somewhere else. How do they know the future before it happens? Because they plan it. They're planning the future through controlling the narrative. It says here, Bilderberg meetings. This is 1954. The Bilderberg group meets for the first time. These meetings are also used so that that Rothschild, David Rockefeller, and Jewish frontmen such as Henry Kissinger can check out potential leaders of countries and decide whether or not they want them as leaders. So now, what do they have to do this? They have the WEF under the Great Reset in 2017. It says, what we are very proud of now is how we penetrate the cabinets around the world. So they groom all these leaders so that they can control these countries, so they don't have to go to war and fight in these countries to create false flags and psyops to go to war. They just groom all these leaders to be over these countries and these organizations. Okay? If the baton has now been handed over to the WEF, but before the WEF, it was the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Kissinger, at the Bilderberg meetings, that they would examine leaders to see who do they need to keep in and who do they need to assassinate or try to buy off to control those countries. A New York periodical publishes an article claiming that the Rockefeller family are manipulating the Federal Reserve for the purpose of selling off Fort Knox gold. This is 1974. We also have, what year is this? 1991. Let's check out 1991. At the Bilderberg Conference on June 6th to 9th of this year in Baden-Baden, Germany, David Rockefeller, a Rothschild, makes the following statement. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. Read it again. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. So they use these news, mainstream news organizations, Washington Post, New York Times, Time Magazine, on and on and on and on, to run cover for them. That's why these people never call out these guys. Okay, and when someone brings something up about them, they label you conspiracy theorist, or they'll run a good publication for them. Because it would be impossible for them to do what they're doing. Their plan would get exposed. Public eyes, and we did control mainstream media. It says, but the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. So I asked the question earlier. The Rockefeller Foundation said that people are saying that they have a diabolical plan for world domination. And they didn't say they did it. They just said it's just evidence that they are able to plan out properly. We make good planning. But here we have a quote from David Rockefeller saying that the world is now ready for world government. This is 1991. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practice in past centuries. Out with the old world order, in with the new. Same year, George Bush, who was president at that time, gave a speech about the new world order. No more democratic elections in countries. We're going to have a world government. Okay, no more countries. We're going to be all one under one idea, one mind worldwide. So now understanding and going into the history of who the Rockefellers are, now when we go into the white paper, okay, you're going to understand that it's more than just, you know, they're just in planning for a worst case scenario. No, they are telling you we are creating the future. We're creating these events. If you can read between the lines, if you know the history of who these people are before you go into their white papers. In his, this is, what year is this? 2002. Oh, what do we have here? Webster's Third New International Dictionary, reprinted in 2002, provides a new definition of anti-Semitism. Say it ain't so. A definition which has not been updated since 1956. Interesting. So why would they need to make a new definition? Maybe because they're ramping up their plans and they would need to throw that term around as a shield to hide behind and to cry victim while they continue to perpetrate and predatorize the whole world. One of the definitions is opposition to Zionism. So if you oppose Zionist or Zionism, you're anti-Semitic, according to the 2002 definition. So even though we're identifying ourselves as sons and daughters of Shem, we would then be considered anti-ourselves because we're in opposition to Zionism. Well, or I'll speak for myself, being that I'm going into this and identifying this as Zionism and them as Zionists. And even though I identify as a son of Shem, I would then be labeled anti-Semitic. So now it's starting to make sense. What's been happening lately is damage control to try to censor truth and more. We're going to go into this anti-Semitism here in a moment. This all connects. All right. Everything is happening and going on right now. It all connects. I wasn't even going here for that. I was going here for something else, but I seen that. I said, oh, wait a minute. I got to hit that. 2002. Autobiography by David Rockefeller Memoirs. He admits his role in the world government conspiracy. He states, for more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty. Let me say it again, David Rockefeller. If that's the charge, I stand guilty. Not only is he admitting his guilt, and I am proud of it. Do we need to read any more on Rockefeller? These people are arrogant and bold. Okay? They just need to buy a little more time. The reason they'll put out little damage control blogs. But they tell you in between the lines, if you can read them, what they're looking to do. And they don't deny it, about a diabolical plan for world domination. They don't deny it. Okay. He didn't say no. this is not true or it's a conspiracy theory. They just deflect a little bit and say they're just scenario planning. Okay? Because they can't deny it. They just deflect because in their own words, they have told you they're guilty and are proud of it. Now, as we go into this document, you don't have to get caught up in the whole government and media spin that this was a document that was put out when they say that it was not about the COVID-19 pandemic. You don't have to get caught up in that CIA rant, fake news and psychological operation. This is exactly what this was for. Always put it out before it happens. Time and time and time again. If this was the only time, you could say, okay, maybe not. But not only is this not the only time, they're even bold enough to come out and say they're guilty. And are proud of it. But see, most people don't know about a quote like this or a quote like this by William Colby of the CIA, CIA director, that said the CIA owns everyone of any significance in the major media. Or what about this one by William J. Casey, CIA director? We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the U.S. public believes is false. So their goal, their whole job is to lie to you, to use all type of Jedi mind tricks and hocus pocus wizard acts and smoke screen, anti-Semitism. Anytime you get close to the truth, anytime you get to identifying who they are, identifying who you are, who we are, anti-Semitic. They just need a little bit more time. They can't afford for everybody to wake up at once or they're finished. So now let's go into this scenario for the future of technology and international development by the Rockefeller Foundation, Global Business Network. So we can now go into this Operation Lockstep. This was put out 2010, over 10 years ago. And let's see if any of this stuff is happening now or is showing signs to happen soon. Okay, there's a lot in here. I can only go into a few pages. Oh, yeah, we're exposing that man of sin all the way tonight. He cannot hide anymore. We know who he is. We know who we are. And our God is sending revelation from the heavenly realm. And the elect can't be compromised. We can't be compromised by diversions, sports, entertainment, shenanigans, false religion. Okay, not the elect. You may be able to get majority caught up in the debaucheries than focusing in on this type of information. Okay, but the elect is locked and loaded in truth, learning about it and telling others. And their whole strategy in the midst of us doing this is to throw out anti-Semitism as their force field whenever we go here. They won't tell you what's anti-Semitic. They'll just throw out the term. And then they'll even lie about what's been said. Yeah, Hebrews to Negroes, it's got anti-Semitic tropes in it. Well, what in it is anti-Semitic? Come to find out, there's nothing anti-Semitic in Hebrews to Negroes. Nothing. Not according to their definition. But that doesn't stop them from lying and telling you there's that it's in there. Even to the point to where Jeff Bezos, I've seen today, said he's not taking Hebrews and Negroes off of Amazon. Well, that poses a problem. Because if he's not taking Hebrews and Negroes off Amazon, then it's not anti-Semitic. Because in order to be on Amazon, it goes through a serious, vigorous screening of anti-Semitic points that it has to pass. So if Jeff Bezos is Jewish and he's saying he's not taking it down, then that's confirmation it's not anti-Semitic. They lied. What did Christ tell us in Revelation 3 and 9? He would make them of the synagogue of Satan. Behold, they do lie. Because they are their father, the devil. Their father's house or synagogue, Satan. Operation Lockstep, scenario narratives. A world of tighter, top-down government control, as if they didn't have enough control in government, and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. Does this read like a plan? Like they said, well, we're just, what is a future planning? Like we didn't predict anything. This sounds like an operation. Tighter government control, top down, more authoritarian leadership. Limited innovation, meaning limited input from the public, meaning public has no control here. At the same time, growing citizen pushback. Sounds like a plan they're planning for. And they're telling how they plan on dealing with this problem. Now, what happens in the midst of this tighter top-down government control? In 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years finally hit. Now, who in their right mind, because they said the world is anticipating, is sitting around anticipating, who was sitting around of us that was anticipating 2020 and a lockdown happened? Now, you may say some of us, we've been abreast of a lot of this stuff, and we were anticipating something to happen. But we weren't just generically thinking that one day we're all living our peaceful lives and the pandemic is going to break out. Like, nobody's sitting around thinking that. But them, they're the only ones thinking it because they're planning it. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain originating from wild geese was extremely virulent and deadly. So notice how now we're talking about this avian flu, this bird flu. So just because COVID-19 didn't happen with the goose, it happened with a bat, according to them. They're going to use birds and bird flu so that they can have an excuse to kill all the food. Right? And no pun intended, they can kill two birds with one stone. They can kill off your food, and they can have an excuse for lockdowns, vaccinations, and all that now. That sounds like a world of tighter top-down government control, authoritarian leadership, if you ask me. It talks about this pandemic having a deadly effect on economics, international mobility of both people and goods screeched to a halt. 2020, what happened? Everything came to a halt. They told you not to go outside in 2020. COVID-19's out there. Debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains. Okay, which we're on the edge of a total collapse of our supply chain now. Even locally, normally bustling shops and office buildings sat empty for months, devoid of both employees and customers. Yeah, that doesn't sound familiar. The pandemic blanketed the planet. You know, Africa, Southeast Asia, Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire. This happened to be all the places where you probably predominantly would find the children of Israel. Spread like wildfire. It didn't start in our neighborhoods, but it spread like wildfire in our neighborhoods. Right? Going back to that bioweapon that Dr. Ariana Love was talking about. Even though in 2020, this didn't happen to this degree. Okay? There was no 8 million people dying in 7 months. Because we didn't have a pandemic of COVID-19. The CIA media ran that as a story to get people to believe we did, to now go get vaccinated. And guess what we have now? We do have a pandemic now. We have a pandemic of the vaccinated now. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency, accelerating the spread of the virus not just within the U.S., but across borders. Okay, this is a scenario. They're all laying out all the details. Check it out. And this is interesting because we're going to talk about this here shortly. It says, however, a few countries did fare better. China in particular. The Chinese government's quick imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of all borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of the virus far earlier than in other countries and enabling a swifter post-pandemic recovery. What just happened in China in 2020? Did they not have this type of lockdown? Hold up. Do they not have this lockdown up until this day? Stay tuned. We're going to talk about it. It was all here in this Rockefeller scenarios for the future of technology and international development the whole time. Their playbook. It talks about China not being the only government that did this. All right. You had other governments flex their authority and impose airtight rules and restrictions, from the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks at the entries to communal spaces like train stations and supermarkets. Say it ain't so. Even after the pandemic faded, this more authoritarian control and oversight of citizens and their activities stuck and even intensified. Sound like Event 201 too, don't it? In order to protect themselves from the spread of increasingly global problems, from pandemics and transnational terrorism to environmental crises and rising poverty, leaders around the world took a firmer grip on power. It's all here, family. The whole playbook. It was here the whole time. On what was coming and what they were going to do. the notion of a more controlled world gained wide acceptance and approval. Citizens willingly gave up some of their sovereignty and their privacy to more paternalistic states in exchange for greater safety and stability. Right? They're going to make you safer, but you need to give over all your rights. Give over the rights to your body. Give over your freedom of speech. Give us the power. We know what's best for you. Citizens were more tolerant and even eager for top-down direction and oversight, and national leaders had more latitude to impose order in the ways they saw fit. Check it out. In developed countries, this heightened oversight took many forms. Biometric IDs for all citizens, for example, and tighter regulation of key industries whose stability was denied was deemed vital to national interest. Biometric IDs for all citizens as a form of tighter control. Okay, so there's a lot in this. I'm just hitting a little bit of it. I mean, they're laying out all type of crazy dystopic future scenarios here. They even have a quote in here from G.K. Bhatt of India. It is possible to discipline and control some societies for some time, but not the whole world all the time. And a lot of this are talking about this technology they're going to put in place. Computers, technologies, all type of things they would put in place for control. Top-down rules, destroying entrepreneurial activity. All the small businesses now have been run out of business from this. Okay, so laying out so many components of what's happening now and what is appearing to be happening soon in the future. I mean, this started, according to this scenario, started in 2012, and now we see here 2026 protesters in Nigeria bringing down their government, fed up with the entrenched cronyism and corruption. Okay, so now they're starting to show in the latter years how people are pushing back now from this established New World Order. And they even actually have a timeline back and forth. Starting in 2010, going all the way to the magic bullet point year, 2030. Check this out. 2017, Italy addresses immigrant caregiver gap with robots. We're talking about robots tonight. Stay tuned. They even talk about the role of philanthropy in lockstep. Which we know philanthropy is dealing with the population of people. Enter in Bill Gates, who is without question the world's biggest philanthropist, right? Talks about the technology in lockstep. Technological advancements. Let's look at some of these technological advancements that they predicted in 2010 that they would see. Scanners using advanced functional magnetic resonance imaging technology became the norm at airports and other public areas to detect abnormal behavior that may indicate antisocial intent. This sounds like a thought crime device. How can a machine detect abnormal behavior that may indicate antisocial intent? Smarter packaging for food and beverages is applied. Okay, so the way that food and beverages are packaged now is going to be different. New diagnostics are developed to detect communicable diseases. Application of health screening. This becomes a prerequisite for release from hospital or prison. Okay, here goes your testing, your COVID testing, and all those things. Where if you don't get screened and are deemed negative, you cannot leave your hospital or prison. They predicted telepresence technologies, or what you would call your Zooms. You could actually now communicate restricted travel for working at home or people that you know in the other parts of the world. All right, what else do we have here? Okay, so that's some of the insight into lockstep. Now, this particular document is 54 pages long, and we just dealt with a few pages of lockstep. They have other things in here, like, let me find it here. They have a scenario called Clever Together, Heart Attack, and Smart Scramble. So much of their plans laid out in a document such as this. And just wanted to give you all a small little piece of it and now start to segue over to, can we now see this in our reality? Now, what's happening right now in real time in our reality that would confirm this Operation Lockstep, and how it leads us to the desolation of abomination. Right, let's go to what do we have here? Shocking speech by Thierry Baudot about the 2010 document allegedly exposes Rockefeller Foundation and globalist scheme. So this is a Dutch MP. Okay. A rising star in European conservative politics. He came out in 2021 after the lockdown and said that this was a page right out of the Rockefeller white paper that we just read. Let's hear him speak about this white paper and what's going on real time and him connecting the dots in our reality after this lockdown, connecting it to this white paper. Even climate lockdowns are hinted at. Now, we haven't got to the climate lockdowns yet, but we have talked about it, and we're going to talk more about a little bit about the climate change agenda tonight also. So they predicted in the white paper the biometric ID. We showed that earlier. That this would lead to a biometric ID for all different types of reasons. Travel, you know, proof of status for anything that requires status. So after some time, people would realize they were lied to and cheated and would rebel or fight back against the draconian measures. So he's saying every year, every fall comes a flu. He said, this is normal. This is natural. It always happens. What are we all been out of shape about with COVID-19? The flu happens every year. But yet people are going on about it like it's something different going on, but it's not. That's what he's saying. So now he's saying, now because they've done this, infrastructure has now been put in place that anytime they want to do this again, they can do it because we allowed them to do it in the first place. Infrastructure is in place now. We're going to talk more about all the other infrastructure they've put in place since this is going to even give them more control past when people rebel and they break the psychosis. Well, we're going to have physical control measures in place for them. He said this corona period was an obedience training. That's all it was. This was a training, a grooming, a programming. That's what 2020 was. Okay, so this is, he's Dutch, for those asking, you know, who he is. He's a Dutch MP. Okay. In the political world there in, I believe Dutch is what, Denmark? And, or Finland. Finland, I think Finland is Dutch. Okay, so people all over the world are waking up. And this was 2021 when he gave that presentation or a speech on this particular white paper, Connecting the Dots. This was all planned. It read like a playbook out of Rockefeller. Okay, you will get this particular article for your reference. I'm not going to go through it. Off of lisahumanelife.com. Operation Lockstep, Rockefeller plan for martial law lockdown, a totalitarian world government. Written in 2010 PDF, COVID pandemic, new world order. Okay, where she goes down and breaks down all forms of government control in relation to this particular document. All right, you will get that. We also have here Natural News. RFK Jr., CIA-led military response to pandemic was meant to drive democracy from the world and usher in global totalitarianism. This was December 6, 2021. Speaking of JFK, here you have RFK, which is Robert Kennedy, JFK's brother. This is his son. And in this article, he's talking basically about what we talked about so far, that it's got nothing to do with a disease. This has all to do with total government control, and they're using the disease as the means to go about it. And let me find lockstep here. So this article talks about Event 201. It also talks about there have been 20 such simulations since 1999. 20, according to Kennedy's research. Collectively, they're called Operation Lockstep. And the problem they were addressing was, how do you get all the liberal democracies in the world to pivot in lockstep and turn themselves into totalitarian nations?